There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. This week's guest is Fergal Harrington. He's a matchmaker in Ireland. So he runs and owns intro.ie. So he talked to me about the dating scene in Ireland now, his clients' expectations, all about matchmaking and what they do, and then his advice to clients for going on dates. So yeah, we had a great chat. He also told me what seagulling was, which I never heard of before. And if you want to watch the video for that app, it is up on the Patreon. So Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast. Also, the solo episode going up now as well. And the solo episodes, I just talk about my private dating life. So currently dating someone 5 years my younger. Is that how you say it? I have no idea. 5 years well, he's younger anyway. So, you know, doing it for feminism. So I chat about that on it. And just other episodes as well about going on dates in the pandemic and online dates and FaceTime dates and all of that stuff and kind of my experience here in New York. So that's all up there on Solo Podcast, where I just waffle on for 30 to 50 minutes a week talking to the wall. So yeah, if you want to sign up for that, that comes out every Monday. I'm a bit late with it today, but it'll be up now in a little bit. And then the videos as well, and then I also recorded 2 episodes of The Shift extra, so they're 2 weeks early, if that makes sense. But the next week's episode will be up tomorrow on the Patreon if you're like, I want to listen to that early. So I recorded an episode with a guy called Alex Pavone, who's in a serious relationship during the pandemic, and we chat about that. He chats about his feelings about polygamy. And then I did another episode with a guy called Gordon Baker Bone, who has a podcast about periods, and he interviews women and asks them about their periods. So we chat about that. But yeah, other than that, if you want to sign up for the Patreon, it is pay what you want. So it's, you know, it could be €1 or 5 or whatever you want. If you want to do 10, that'd be great. There's also stand-up clips up there as well. Loads of stuff up there. Or if you want to review, rate, all that stuff, that'd be very helpful as well. But other than that, enjoy this episode and I'll talk to you at the end.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too.
Things are good. Things are great. Things are busy. Things are, getting back to normality soon enough in this crazy little country.
That's good. Is it getting back to normality?
Well, somewhat. I mean, the restaurants will be eating in car parks, but we'll take that. we're having our takeaway pints from random places on the streets. So there's a bit of a buzz around, but Grafton Street, where we are, is a little bit shantytown-esque at the moment. A lot more homeless people, which is sad, but it's also a little bit unnerving because they have no one to get money from. So they're extra in your face. A lot of boarded up windows. Canada Goose was over here and they got robbed. They took like 4 or 5 jackets worth $1,000 each. And so then every other shop on the street closed up and boarded up their windows or got rid of all their stock. And like Tommy Hilfiger just closed, Abercrombie and Fitch just closed, like Carphone Warehouse closed 88 branches.
I was like, I didn't even know they were still open.
Yeah, no. Well, yeah, Air is downstairs. We're over Air. We're right across the road from Bewley's.
Okay.
You're Kildare, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just forgot that Carphone Warehouse was even a thing. It sounds like very old school.
Yeah, massive. They were anyway. But yeah, how's New York?
Yeah, it's grand. I'm lucky to be here because everything's pretty normal. So I've been fully vaccinated for over a month.
What? We have friends up in Belfast and they've been, yeah, done the last 2 months or something like that. UK is just killing it. They're just doing really well. And they're thinking about now giving them a third vaccine just to get them sorted for winter months coming forward.
I don't want a third vaccine.
What did you get? The Pfizer?
No, Moderna. It made me really sick.
Okay. You did?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You'll scare the hell out of the conspiracy theorists now.
No, like I'm fine. I'm not, I'm alive and I'm, you know, I didn't like have an aneurysm or whatever yet, touch wood. Well, I mean like scare the hell out of them. Then if they don't get it, they're just pussies. No, it just made me sick for like 8 hours and I don't like feeling sick. So, if I had to get it again, I'd get it and just make sure that I didn't have anything on the next day.
Oh, big time. I mean, it's causing massive, divide over here, huge divide. Like even in dating, you wouldn't think about it. Before, religion used to play the biggest part. Catholic Ireland, you know, they have to be a good Catholic from a God-fearing family, you know, because my auntie was a nun and my uncle was a priest. And now it's like, if they're not going to get the vaccine, don't even come near me with them. So we commissioned an Amorok survey that said 62% of people who are single will not date a person who will not be getting the vaccine.
So wait, firstly, before, because that's really interesting, before we get into that, what exactly do you do?
Okay. Myself and my wife set up Intro Matchmaking 10 years ago. We were introduced by my brother who lives over in Sausalito. He moved over to America to be a chemical engineer and he's a singer-songwriter. And Rena used to run radio stations in Ireland and he asked her to play his song on her station. She said yes. He came back to Ireland to visit and said, I better say thanks to her for doing that favor for me. She's single. I just found out you're single, Virgo. I'm going to hook you two up. He did. We did. And then within about a month, I moved in with her. And within about 2 to 3 months, we decided to set up the most private and confidential matchmaking agency in the country. And we did. And now it is the biggest in Ireland by a long shot. There's about 4,500 people on the books. We're on Grafton Street. We have 8 full-time staff. And it's for people who don't want to spend 3 hours every night sifting through nonsense profiles of crazy lunatics on Tinder, POF, Bumble, Hinge, Grindr, whatever.
So you're a matchmaker basically, except for newly in real life, as in people go in, they say what they want. They could say what new, even like personality traits and stuff like that. I was just saying, my cousin, she was like, I wish there was a dating app where I could put height and stuff. And I was like, you can, you just have to pay for it. And I was like, but I think that I wish there was a dating app where I could be like, are they a nice person? You know, like what are their proper views and stuff? Like, are they wrecked?
So the people who join us at the moment, they're 20 to 90 years of age from all over the world living in Ireland. 20 to 90, single, separated, divorced or widowed, but looking for something meaningful, long term, decent, genuine. So they're quite grounded, down to earth, sort of what you see is what you get. Busy, usually quite full lives. Doing very well a lot of the time, but could be sweeping the street, could be a farmer, could be a nurse, doctor. Teachers are our number one client, and that's largely because they don't give themselves enough of an opportunity to actually be around the opposite sex if they're straight. Because 80-something% of the teachers are women, so it's really tough in that sense. And you know, some people then in Ireland, we stereotype people, we generalize and we make, you know, judgments about people, thinking, I don't want to meet a teacher. Should they talk down to me? They point to me, look at me like I'm a child, and don't get me a guard, because all the guardy, you know, abuse their power and they're egomaniacs. Like, Jesus, really? Like every accountant is boring kind of thing. So we're very quick to judge people in the country, and we don't communicate. We don't express ourselves very well. We don't say how we're actually feeling until we'd rather wallow in self-pity rather than actually admit that we're feeling a bit isolated or lonely. So COVID has really shone a light on the importance of actually being able to say, I am lonely. And it's okay, because the whole fucking world is feeling lonely. So it's pretty okay to say this now. So it's gotten rid of the stigma that was once, you know, eating away at the Irish person's, you know, ego and sense of well-being. They just thought it's embarrassing, it's desperate to say that you need the help or the assistance of a dating agency, whereas now it's become normal. And if you're going on Tinder, Irish people's attitude is, well, sure, I'm only on that for the crack, I'm only getting a a few bits here and there and everywhere. So I don't really care about a relationship. Deep down, they really want love and they long for that togetherness and that whatever else, but they just can hide behind the humor, the Irish wit. The Irish should just go out and get hammered, you'd be grand. You know, just don't be worrying about it. What's meant for you won't pass you by. That expression in Ireland that ruins so many people's potential for getting success because it does pass you by. And it doesn't, no one comes knocking on the door to start a relationship. So there was no sense of proactivity. Everyone was just putting things on the long finger and going out getting hammered on Friday and Saturday night. Lads rocking up to bars and sitting, standing there by the corner, just rocking back and forth, looking all creepy. And then creeping on these groups of women who are trying to have a nice night out. And then the woman might say something a little bit mean to him and he thinks, well, feck you, I'm not going to try chatting up a woman ever again. So Irish guys don't do it unless they have serious Dutch courage, you know, consumed. Whereas the Americans, very different, almost two in your face. And you're like, I don't need to know about your your separated parents from when you were a three-year-old and how it affected you. And, you know, so just if we had an ounce of the American sort of ability to be honest and to wear our heart on our sleeve, and then also with the wit of the Irish, then I think that might be a nice little balance if we could strike that. But it's a very big minefield of drama if you're not careful. We turn away 20 people a day from intro when they call us to see if they can join, because let's just say, Katie, they would not be people that you would want to date.
Oh, okay. That's good. You're really censoring them.
Oh, it's a filtration system for crazy. We minimize the drama. And the reason we're here in business 10 years, and you don't really last this long in a business like this because it's so highly emotive and it's very subjective. What Johnny thinks is good looking, Jack thinks is minging. What Mary thinks is intelligent, Bridie thinks is stupid. So you have to have a level playing field whereby everybody agree that, yeah, I need to play by the rules and I need to have certain sort of guidelines that I adhere to. So in year one, when Rena and I opened the doors and we were over Cafe On Seine on Dawson Street over the road back then, we took everyone on and it was absolutely devastating what we had to go through for the year because we didn't have any sort of idea as to what we were getting into. Even though we worked in sales all our lives and we knew that the public can be challenging, all these people just started saying, what do you mean I have to travel? I'm not traveling anywhere. I live in Dublin 6. I live in Rathmines. I'm not traveling anywhere. They can come to me. And we're like, what? But if everyone thinks that way, and same as Johnny down in Tralee thinks, well, I live in Tralee and I have a farm, so how can I go anywhere else for feck's sake? And we're like, we're not asking you to like move the farm. We're not asking you to like move away. We're just saying, go for a bite to eat with this person, see how it goes. And if there is chemistry and spark, well, then the two of you can work it out as two grown-ups, no? But they're like, no, 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 I want what I want. I'm paying you for a service. You get me what I want. So this Celtic Tiger entitlement of, I pay and you get it for me and that's it. We're like, Jesus Christ, this is nasty. So we said never again. So the travel thing is a policy in here because there's twice as many women living in urban areas than men. So if you're a woman living in Dublin, Limerick, Cork, Galway or Belfast, you're at a disadvantage slightly because women spend longer in third level education. And that's why there's more professional roles in cities. That's why there's more women in cities.
That's so interesting. The same as New York, there's like 6 women for every man.
Yeah. But that women are doing so much better nowadays than men. They're progressing higher in the field. They're doing better in career. They're climbing the ladder. They're getting CEO roles all over the shop. And they're making more money than men. They have more disposable income than men. And they're killing it. And that's great. But the problem is when the women have a radius of 15 kilometers on their profile from D6, from Ranelagh or from wherever, Donnybrook, they're seeing a whole load of the same faces over and over again because they're not casting the net wide enough. Similarly, when Johnny is in Ballygo backwards and he thinks, Jesus, where's everyone gone? Why are they're all my relatives. They're my cousins, basically. And I know everyone else to see. And the Irish people are gas. If you ring them about someone too far away, they'll complain and moan because it's awful hassle having to get in the car. Oh, Jesus. And then someone too close, I don't know, should they all know me? My father was the butcher's and, you know, I used to work there every Saturday. And so they all know me to see. I'm painting a very boggery picture of my clientele, but you know, it's all over the country. Only 20% or 18% are Dublin based. The rest are everywhere else. But the travel thing is the major thing. We're all so selfish. We all want right here, right now, microwave mentality. And we're not selling houses where you can pick and choose locations. So if people start behaving,
yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I don't know if any of the listeners, like, I live in New York, but I've dated guys who, I live in Astoria and they live in Brooklyn. That's an hour on the train.
Yeah.
So it's like, even I live in like a city that's super accessible to everywhere. Like, I've always had to, or dated a guy in Jersey that was an hour and a half. But yeah, you just got to take a book.
Well, if people are worth it, if people, if there's chemistry and spark, and you know it's worthwhile, it'll never be by the distance. But people always make the mistake of blaming something for, you know, to avoid them having to actually acknowledge that they could have been doing something wrong with the relationship. So it's easy to say that Mary and John, if they're between Cork and Kerry, oh, it was because of the distance. I couldn't be arsed driving to her all the time, and she wasn't willing to make the effort. It wasn't that. It was down to something else the two of them were doing, but they just don't want to. It doesn't help them sleep at night if they actually think about their own flaws. So we're very good in this country, especially at identifying other people's issues, but terrible at seeing that we could actually be at fault.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, like, a lot of women, and I don't think it's just that our country, because a lot of women that I know over here will have gone to therapy and worked on themselves, and what they struggle with is they're dating guys who, like, they've addressed their, like, I've one best friend, and she said two guys she dated said she had control issues. So she addressed that, went to therapy, and she's like amazing now. And like, even with the guy she's seeing now, she's like, oh, I have to really, like, remind myself, respect his boundaries. And then, like, I just don't think men are as comfortable, and I'm generalizing again, but from what I've seen over here, well, a few of my comedian friends have, so I take that back, but it seems to be more, women are more comfortable to go to therapy and be like, okay, I'm doing this wrong, let's fix it.
Big time. And that's really, really, it's noticeable now though with women over here as well. And an awful lot of people are getting into psychotherapy. And so you'd get a lot of people who, like, almost looking to self-diagnose.
I would Google a lot of stuff. I'm always reading it. I've never went to therapy, but I'm always trying to learn and be like, okay, I hope I'm not like that. Or
yes, but being self-aware enough to actually identify the fact that, oh, I feel I could be guilty of, you know, possessing that trait. That's half the battle. It's the people who are deadly dangerous are the ones who go around saying, I do nothing wrong. Sure, like, obviously their problem. I don't have a problem. They have a problem. Their problem. Like, so Jesus. Bad. Yeah.
And it's detrimental to themselves, because, like, of course, yeah, maybe you've dated a couple of psychos or whatever. Like, we've all had our share. And men can say the same. Yeah. We've all had, like, whatever, dated people because they're attractive and then they're not, they're like possessive, jealous or whatever. But I mean, none of us are perfect, and we all have to be like, okay, well, I do this and that was, and learn and look back and be like, okay, well, I also did that. I don't want to do that in the next relationship. 100%.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's the blame game that we're so bad at and so guilty of over here. It's when people come in and they haven't given themselves proper time to actually heal after the breakup. And they're seething with anger, and they're like, just like oozing with venom. Like, they were, I'm never getting anyone like them ever again. So their deal breakers, because we go through their profile questionnaire, and their deal breaker section is basically just a profile of their ex. And we're like,
not
you
Paul.
Know that? Yeah. Anyone but Paul. But it's like, we go through everything. We go through hobbies, interests, characteristics, core values, family values, future goals, looks, everything. Deal breakers. The biggest deal breakers for men to women would be loud, brash, domineering, in your face, you know, I can't handle you, you're too much for me, kind of thing.
Oh, like that men don't want women who are loud, brash. Yeah.
And smoking is a number two. From women towards men, it's indecisive, lazy, and not having their shit together.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't want, the women will say, I don't want this guy who's just shrugging his shoulders and like, where do you want to go this week? We're going to have 2 years. Where do you want to go this weekend? I don't know, wherever you want. It's like, oh, just have an opinion. Make a decision, and like, get a little bit just better at being in a relationship, and organize a date night, organize a holiday, for God's sake. So women were dragging the guys kicking and screaming through relationships, and the guys was like,
so annoying.
Yeah, that but is wait, annoying.
What about the brash thing? What do you mean by that? Because so, I like, you don't mean like, because I think a couple of my friends, we've talked about this, where men find strong, independent, like top of their game women quite intimidating sometimes, and unfortunately women like that date a lot of, I was just talking to a bunch of female comedians about this, but we've dated the same guy, and it's like, how have all of us got the same story? But it's like a narcissist, they all neg the same shit coming out of their mouth, and how they're not the same guy, they're all, one girl kind of put up a thing blaming her race, right? And it's, I was like, I've dated everybody. I was like, I was like, there's something with us that are attracting like women who are like maybe in the limelight or independent or something, where these like narcissistic type of guys. But I was wondering, why isn't it that nice, quiet guys ask us out? Because that's what we struggle with. But I'm just wondering, is it something that you just said there? Do we seem brass?
Well, it confidence. Like, okay, stand-up comics, possibly you need the biggest Leroy-y ever to be able to do that. So that requires enormous confidence. But I know that an awful lot of comedians, and I know an awful lot of comedians as well, they might have struggled in the past with mental health things or had depression or whatever else, and they used to be big drinkers, and it was such a horrible like environment to be around, drink the whole time, like I have to give up or else I'm just gonna just like die, and so they're really deep, and they're really deep thinkers, and sometimes that can scare the daylights out of some men. They're thinking, this woman is a deep thinker, she has thoughts. And how dare she have thoughts? She's intelligent and she can make witty jokes. That I'm not that fast. I can't be that quick. And so that can scare the shite out of an awful lot of guys. And a lot of men now in Ireland especially will ask for, do you have any farting women on your books? I'm like, oh, I need to have a shower. Sorry, leave me alone. But it's usually because it's not that he likes foreign women or likes the look or not that. It's because he thinks foreign women will be submissive. And they'll be quiet.
So it's a submissive thing, yeah.
It's a submissive thing. They don't want, like, the confidence that it would require to be a comedian and the jokes and the laughs that you'll get in an auditorium in a massive place, that will intimidate guys thinking, Jesus, she's going to be getting all the attention now and I'm going to be just in the background. And it's okay, I suppose, but I can't keep up with her. I can't keep up with that level of wit and that level of confidence. I was on a few podcasts with women as well, and they're really like gung-ho, amazing, doing amazingly well, powerhouses. But and a lot of the time people say, well, she just beat your man up. Your man isn't able for her. Your man is too insecure. He just can't cope. She's too much for him. That's why American guys, when they're like, you like big bravado and in your face, it can be a little bit much for an awful lot of Irish people to take, but you'd probably get an awful lot more sober attention in America for the confidence reasons than over here when they're just like, geez, I don't know where I'd begin to talk to a woman who has this much confidence. So if people judging the other person based on what they do for a living, it's judging them based on, you know, being able to have the crack, and if they're that forthcoming in terms of talking about sex or talking about whatever else, they're like, Jesus, mercy for hour, 10 Hail Marys there, Katie. So it's funny, we judge, but Irish guys, mammies have an awful lot to answer for, because mammies shielded an awful lot of the sons and they didn't let them out of their sight. And so we'd get an awful lot of calls from 40 something year old men who'd be living at home with mammy still, and he'd say, mammy, do you think I should live or move out and find a nice girl, do you know? And she says, no woman will cook or clean the way I do, and they're only ever after your land, and they want to get pregnant and steal you from me. And so the real reason is mammy and daddy don't get on. They're 65, 70. They live in rural Ireland. They hardly talk. They sleep in separate bedrooms for the last 15 years. And she's thinking, Jesus, if I'm left with this old lad here who barely speaks to me and I lose my son, I'm going to have no one on the land to do the land, because he's useless now. His back is at him. So I better make your man feel so skeptical and paranoid that Irish women are just going to get pregnant and rob all his land. So there's a huge amount of that. Irish mammies have an awful lot to answer for. And I speak to those guys every single day, because usually mammy and daddy die then at 90 something. Your man is 65. He sacrificed his entire life, and he rings up looking for 35 year olds off intro every day, three or four of them. No joke. And so he compare himself then to likes of Ronnie Wood and Richard Gere, and say, well, if he can do it at his age, why can't I? I'm like, I don't know, Johnny. Is it the fact that he's a Rolling Stone, or Richard Gere is a bit of a Hollywood A-lister and has a few bob?
Well, so there's so many things you've just touched on there as well. So like, firstly, with men being scared of whatever, loud, brass, confident, independent women. Well, it's like, for the women listeners, don't change. Men need to change and put their ego in the back seat. And secondly, then that delusion. And I have that I don't think women just in the world have been brought up to be like, oh, look prettier, put on mascara, Curl your eyebrows on. And men just have this innate, I know you say that it's a contradiction, because they're insecure to date a confident woman, but I have the confidence to believe at 65 they can get a 35-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Oh, total delusionment. And
contradictions.
It's Mammy's telling Johnny that he's a lovely boy. And Johnny then might be 25, 30 stone with not a hair in his head, trying to walk up the stairs, can hardly do it. He'll have no problem saying, I want a nice, slim lady, size 6 to size 8, blonde hair, blue eyes. We're like, have you seen yourself? So
it's so true, because I even find, I never post thirst traps, because I've always been like, I just, because I talk about sex and stuff like that, I've always felt that I can't do that. And a good friend of mine, Serena Kajani, she's a comedian and a content creator from Ireland, but she was like, we did it as a social experiment thing between the two of us as a joke when we were away for Christmas. She always posts her strap and that's her thing. She's very body positive, and she was like, just do it once. And I was like, I'm telling you, I will lose followers. And when I did it, I lost followers. But anyway, I also got the most likes I've got. But then I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm like, you know, I like, this was kind of fun. So when I went to Miami, I posted a bikini picture. And so that was like the first time I've really been like posting like, oh, look at me. But all of the men who like messaged me or commented, they were like, oh, you look great. But they made a joke about the fact that I don't have a big arse. And I just thought it was so funny, because when you look into their profile picture, they're all ugly. Yeah. Now the good looking lads were just like, Katie, look great. But it was the ugly ones who were like, now you need to like grow your arse or something. And I was like, I have nearly I nearly have like a kind of like a small little, a four pack, let's say, a small pack. And like, you know, so the fact, and my, like the fact that they could pick, but we don't like this part, like they need perfection. I was like, and then the messages, the amount of them I got. So I just was like, Jesus, like it. And they all look like they walked out of a swamp when you look at their profile picture. So there is something about the delusion. Like, unless you're coming at me with like looking like, what's your man from High School Musical? I can't think of someone hot. Zac Efron. Don't fucking comment on the one thing that I don't have a massive big Brazilian butt arse, you knob.
Well, that's pure bitterness and pure that sounds like kindergarten stuff where he'd pull your pigtails if he was there with you, because he probably likes you.
It was a lot of that, and I guess some men have been told, maybe it's an American thing, to like neg. There was like a playbook thing, and it was like, take women down because you're 6 men will go up and compliment her at the bar, but if you go up and be like, I like that shirt but it looked better on that girl over there, you're like interesting. And it's like, now everybody's doing that, so you're not interesting anymore.
No, those kind of mind games are a thing of that they definitely are not required at the moment. And we're not seeing that over here a huge amount. We're online, they're seeing it online. People are spending like 3 and 4 hours on Tinder, and if John, you know, messages Mary within 30 seconds, she doesn't write back, you're a fat mess. What are you doing? Are you even single? You're gonna die alone. You're nothing. And they're like, screw you, I just didn't get back for 30 seconds. Piss off. Leave me alone.
That's and we're seeing that over here, because one of my friends, she was in work. She works from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. And a guy messaged her being like, oh, you're taking 4 hours to reply. If you don't reply now in the next hour, I'm done with this. But he put like a laughy face, but it's like, why do you think that's okay?
Maniacal laughy face. Yeah, no, Jesus. Well, you see, an awful lot of the times I'd say, well, these people are much better off losing those people, because they're just going to absolutely torment them. And they'd spend 3 and 4 hours a night sifting through nonsense profiles, then ring us. And no joke, I get calls every single day, and the most requested or most asked question is, frequently asked question is, are there any decent people left out there who are single? I'm like, yeah, but like, what are you doing? Where are you looking? What's going on? And they say, well, I'm on Hinge like for 3 years. I'm on Bumble. I'm on Tinder. I was like, yeah, you're doing the same thing over and over again and hoping for a different result. And you're going for the same types, the same bad boy image, the same whatever. I'm like, there's a reason why your type hasn't worked so far. So stop going for your type, please, and listen to a bit of advice. And,
like,
you know,
speaking to me personally.
I do not know your history on Tinder, it's everyone does it. We're our own worst enemy an awful lot of the time. We keep on giving people the benefit of the doubt, and we'll say, oh, maybe your man will be different, maybe your woman will be different now, even though probably chances are so in here, like, 8 different people make the decisions on your behalf, so you're getting both male and female perspectives working out why Katie is better for Tom, Dick or Harry. And so we can see things that the person themselves don't necessarily see all that easily, because vision can be a little bit clouded after a few years of dating on the dating scene. And I'd have people in the past who I'd talked to who go on 20 dates easily a week, coffee dates, like go back, flat whites, go on, move on. So the dating industry has become, online especially, has become so dismissive and disposable. People are totally disposable. And the attitude is, if I throw enough mud at the wall, something will stick.
Well, yeah. And also, I'm just going to say this guy's name because he's a comedian who's been on the podcast before, but Brendan Sagalow, he was just saying to me the other day that he's tired of repeating his story. And I really related to me because I was like, yeah, even if I go on dates now and they're like, oh, your parents, I'm like, oh, fine. Anyway, like I can't do another
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. And then you're like, was it him I had that story with, or was that a yes. guy from a month ago? Or yeah.
And that's why people don't put enough into the here and now with the actual individual, because they're under pressure. You're out with a guy and you're thinking, yeah, he's all right, but I'm going out with Jack tomorrow, and Jack says he works out 6 times a week, so he'll probably have a better shoulder, maybe two. Hopefully he has two. And you're automatically dismissing the guy right in front of you because, I don't know, he didn't engage you right off the bat. And people are way too quick to judge. Like, we send people out on first dates, but often it's like the fourth or fifth date by the time they actually realize, oh, actually, yeah, there is a bit of spark here, all right, because your man grabbed the guitar, serenaded me, didn't know you played the guitar. What's going on here? Jesus, maybe I am attracted to you after all.
Oh, wait, so can I ask you? Okay, so that's really a good point, because people will always say to me, I kind of give people longer. Now, I've also ended up dating people I shouldn't have, but I always am like, oh, I'll give them like 3 or 4 dates just to see. But my friends are always like, after a second date, they're like, you know, when you just know straight away. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm a very, I process things very slowly. So it actually takes me a second. But do you think that that's true? Do you think it's like attraction is straight away, or do you think it can kind of grow?
It's
so you would
not
say
straight
like,
away.
Oh, see, that's so great to hear.
Yeah,
so what would you say would be like a good gauge for people? Like how many dates before they can kind of really know if they're attracted to someone?
Well, a lot of the time it's date 3 and 4, and then they usually call and they go on pause. So in here, everyone has 5 dates and there's no time limit on the membership. So when we arrange a date with Johnny and Mary, they go for a bite to eat, and then they're like, if they say, I'm like, well, there you go. There's something there. They're like, but is there? I was like, yeah, the fact that you went means, yes, there's something there, but you just can't pin it yet. So, but definitely pursue it. Go on a second date in your own surroundings. Go to whatever you want to go to. You organize it, and they do. And then it's in their own thing. They're less, because it's less staged, because we organize a restaurant date and it's booked under Fergal Arena, and then they arrive and they're seated and blah, 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 which is fine. It's good. But we don't organize like coffee dates usually. We are at the moment because people are going for walks in the park and doing virtual dates. And the virtual is working an awful lot better than we ever imagined it would. People are going like 5 hours virtual dates. Yeah.
I would have never FaceTimed anybody. I would have been like more comfortable probably like having sex than FaceTiming.
Yeah.
Like years ago, because I would have slept with guys that I would have been dating, and I could have been dating them for months before. I would have never FaceTimed. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the pandemic happened and I had to, and I honestly would FaceTime a guy from Hinge now, even though I don't have to, before I would go on it, because you can just be like, okay, I got his vibe, we're not wasting each other's time. And there was one guy, we had a phone call for like an hour, but then we voice messaged for like, so it started at 8 until 5 a.m. And then we ended up going on 4 more dates. But like, I felt like that first phone call voicemails was like, or voice messages was like a real date. I really got to know him.
And then we build the foundations.
Yeah. And then we could talk about all that stuff. I was like, oh, when you told me this, it was amazing.
It is. And that's what people are finding. And they're in their own surroundings. They're comfortable in their own home. They dress whatever they want to dress. They have a glass of wine. They have the crack. And there's no threat. There's no weirdness. It's cheaper.
No set. So you're not worried, oh, is he just doing this to try fuck me?
Yeah, exactly. So then it's like, okay, second date, third date. Okay, I can organize this. I am happy to go for a walk on the beach. I am happy to go to the forest or whatever. Forest, not quite the forest, maybe on a first date. Keep it less deathy. It's massive. Like going out with someone for maybe 4 or 5 times, people really know. And then they come to us and they say, do you know what? Unbelievable. I definitely feel it's worth pursuing properly as a full-time relationship. So I'm going to pause my membership now with you guys. And that's how we as a company measure our success and know how the matches are going, because people would not go on pause and they would not stay on pause unless it was right. So you can pause for up to 3 months. And so we kind of force you into a communication then at the end of that 3 months to say, all right, Katie, what's the story? I'm happy with you. Are you happy with me? Because let's be honest here.
That's great. I love this because 3 months is a perfect time, I think. It's a good...
Yeah, it's plenty time. It's more than enough time. We did focus groups back 11, 12 years ago when we were setting this thing up. And they said, oh, could you give us a month? We're like, let's just do three because, you know, to be fair. And so we would have relationships now forming that definitely would never have formed. Ever, ever, ever. They would never have gone for the types that we would have brought, you know, forward to them. But also... we have people not wasting their time, valuable time when they're 39 and 40, when they want kids and they want everything, but then they're going out with your man and they're thinking, oh, but maybe he'll change his mind about kids in the future if I just keep nagging him. Maybe he'll come around to my way of thinking and believing in marriage, even though his parents are separated and he's a bit of a weirdness about that. Maybe he'll change. They don't really change at that age. If they're weird at 40 about marriage because mommy and daddy separated when I was five, or I don't really see kids in my future, well then run away, Mary, run away, Betty, run away and move on to the guys who actually are in sync with what you're looking for. So many people try to spend time changing people and there's no point. And they think always, well, it's handier to be in a relationship that's kind of meh than to be single again, because the single scene is just an absolute mess altogether. Well, it's not really. We'd say, like, you know, let's be with the right person instead of divorcing in 10 years' time.
Yeah, I'll say for the listeners, like, I've always wanted to fall in love. They all know this is pretty sad. But the problem with that is I've always dated somebody, and the pandemic only recently made me really be like, so even like in the last maybe month or two, or maybe 3 months, but I've been like, oh, it really made me think, like, I'd rather be alone and I love my alone time than listening to someone else's shit and putting up with shit. Like, yeah, the sex can be good and there could be a bit of crack, but then if you're like, it's not worth if they have something, like if they're a narcissist or if they're talking about their commitment issues and you're like, why am I gonna, if there's something or your gut feeling or whatever, like just actually being alone is lovely. Like, I'd rather watch Netflix, binge Netflix, or meet up with my girlfriends or my guy friends than do another kind of situationship where I'm not really that happy and kind of hoping things work out.
So, yeah, you don't want to be a psychotherapist or a crutch for somebody else who has stuff that they need to sort out.
Yeah,
you don't want to be their mammy.
Yeah, or even just in a bad relationship, one that's not right. Like, it's so much better alone. Like, your alone time, I'm like, even now at the point where I'm like, as soon as I thought that, nicer guys are asking me out and I'm like, no, just give me a moment.
Well, that's when you're not looking as well, though. We often get that with people who join us after 4 years of being single. They join us and then they meet someone randomly down the road because they're not giving out that or giving off that sort of sense of, I'm looking, I'm searching, I'm looking to meet someone. Because you can see it in people's eyes when you're out and about.
There is an intensity too. Like, I remember I went on a couple of dates with this lad, but his energy, he asked me, like, you know, and then it's totally fine that he asked these questions, like, about when do I want to have kids, and because he's older and this is all he wants. But I just was like, because I want to be in a healthy relationship, of course, but I don't want to worry about kids or anything just right yet. I want to make sure I make it first. And I know that's a priority for me, that I like become successful in comedy or more successful. So, but it just felt, I felt his energy. Like, I just, and I was like, I'm going running for the hills. I'll see you later.
He's just looking for a baby maker. And you're like,
yeah, that's what I felt. And he kept being like, that's not, but I just, you know, you can feel someone's, it was like, he's like, I need a wife next.
Oh yeah.
The energy's intense.
And when he says he's not, oh, I'm not being intense, it's like oh, not to be a bitch, but then they start bitching, or not to be a psycho, and then they say something absolutely insane. Yeah, no, it's usually, you can trust me when they say it on the phone to me. I can't pay my deposit now, Fergal, but you can trust me that I'll be there now on Friday at 2 o'clock. It's like, all right. So yeah, the baby thing is a massive issue here, because Irish guys, they just have this narcissistic attitude whereby, well, I'm a guy, I can do whatever I want, I can have kids whenever I want. And 45, no problem ringing up looking for a 25-year-old. I'm like, dude, no 25-year-old woman has ever rang intro and said, you know what I'd love? 45-year-old man. So cop onto yourself and get back in your box and realize you're a grown man and you're 45. And he often follow up with saying, but I don't want to have kids right away. I want to go out with her for 3 or 4 years, then propose, then 2 years after that, get married, and then 2 years after that, have kids. I was like, do you want to be a 50-something-year-old, you know, guy changing nappies? I was like, well, she doesn't want that from you. So you need to realize guys need to plan ahead an awful lot more, especially across the world. They just need to really just cop on and say, I am the age I am. 5-year, 10-year plan. Where do I want to be? What do I want to do? I'm not saying like have a spreadsheet and be really anal about it. I'm just saying have
be realistic.
Yeah, and just know that I can't expect to click my fingers and just get a 25-year-old because, you know, like if you're on some dating site that it's like a sugar daddy thing, yeah, whatever, you know what you're getting what you're paid for. But you're genuinely looking for a long-term committed relationship with a view to marriage and all that. Well, then realize that it's not just you because you're the man with the seed and you're able to have kids whenever you want. Because I think 1/6 of the time when there's people having problems having kids, it's the man's issue from overconsumption of alcohol a lot of the time. So yeah, Irish guys, there's an arrogance there, that an entitlement that I can just get whatever I want. And now when you've got women outshining men all over the shop in industry, doing way better, making more money, then all of a sudden the guy's like, oh, they're too confident. Come down a notch. Stop being so feckin' confident, women. Like, it's just, it's nasty. Like, we both have problems. We all have problems. And the issues, like, the main issue in Ireland from women towards men, this is the other interesting policy that you'll probably be interested in, is academic snobbishness. So Irish women, since they do so much better and they're far more educated than men, there's nearly double the number now of third level qualified women in this country. So when women ring up Intro and say, hey, I got my PhD from Trinity College, I got a master's from UCD, so I'm amazing. And I was like, well done, that's great. But she will only meet a man if he has the same level of qualifications as she has. And we're like, we can't get that because Ireland can't give you that because we can't make men, you know, go to college, just like we can't make them taller. And the average height of a man is 5'7.5". So, you know, even though you're 6 foot, Mary, we can't make him taller. And only 30% of Irish guys are. So we're an agency that actually deals in the facts and the stats and the figures that tells people the truth, because we often have hurdles that we put in our own way and we keep on getting knocked over by those hurdles. And we just, if we got out of our own way a little bit and tweaked what we were doing and the habits that we had, it would be actually fine. But the educational snobbishness is the biggest issue from women towards men. Definitely. We have to turn away eight a day.
But I wonder as well, for those women, is there sort of a worry that if they don't get men who are as educated, will they be less emotionally intelligent? Will they not be able to have the same conversations, or will they think women in the kitchen, you know, they might be, maybe that's the worry. I don't know.
No, I'm talking like the guys that we would have a lot of the time would be guys that left school, maybe not all, but the older generation, they might have left school at 15, 16, started their own business, are massively successful entrepreneurs. Oh,
yeah.
Like they might have,
sure, I don't have a PhD. I'm smart. No.
Yeah, me too. And the thing is, the emotional intelligence, the EQ, the communication skills, the conversation, the motivation, and how driven and ambitious they are, that far outweighs, you know, whether I have 25 letters after my name.
But yeah, that's good. I'm just wondering if they worry that people who don't aren't as educated as them, but still, that doesn't make...
Well, they do worry, but you can't be equating intelligence with solely with academic qualifications. It has
no,
to be
you can't.
Experience.
Street smarts, baby. Yeah. That's what I am.
a lot more important. And like, well, I had one woman say to me, I'll never forget. She goes, well, I recently compiled a study on compatibility verbal, and I now know that I'm only suited to men within 10 deviation points of my IQ level.
See, I don't even know what my IQ level is. I don't even know what the good IQ level is.
And then I had another one who said, well, if you take deposits off everyone to make an appointment for them for the consultations, how is a guy who doesn't have third level qualifications going to pay his deposit? So she really, truly believed that you had to have third level qualifications.
But sure, some of my friends
card.
Who are plumbers have more money than.
Way more.
And they left school when they were 15.
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's weird to me that they would. It's interesting because there's so many levels of things you have to look for, like whether or not you'd be attracted. Like that's something I know this is awful, but I love sex. So I worry that if I meet a great guy and he's like fun, he's go crack. And I'm like, I just want to make sure I'm able to have sex with them for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting that they're like, oh, they need to have a PhD when there's all these other things too, like sex, emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, are they friendly? Are they going to be kind? So those things I feel like would be more important to me anyway than, I don't have a PhD, so that's easy for me to say.
Well, we don't even take the people on who say he must have a PhD because it can't be found. Walk down Grafton Street.
They're gone. All my Irish friends over here, they're like a group of lads who have PhDs. They're here. America took them.
America did take an awful lot of them, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to come over here if you want them.
I'm telling you. But like, you know, or go to the Netherlands if you want the guys who are 6'2". We're a nation of short artists. I'm sorry. We just are. And that's how it is. So people need to know that just because you pay for
short
a service
artists.
doesn't make it possible for us to actually just magic them up and just make them you know, go to Trinity. We can't make people live in Ranelagh because you would love to meet a guy in Ranelagh. And that's the problem with the circas who work in Davy stockbrokers, who are like, well, God forbid, Jesus Christ, I couldn't possibly date him. I drive a Beamer. I live in Ranelagh. It's a beautiful red brick. It's gorgeous period house. And he's a plumber. How could I possibly ever even introduce him to the girls?
They should think that's sexy. He comes in his, what are they, Snickers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he sorts out her pipes.
Yeah. And like, introduce him to the girls. Here's the other thing as well. It's like, well, I mean, if your friends are all that snobby, that's a bit weird. But also, they're your friends. Like, yeah, exactly. That's another thing I don't understand. Like, most of my friends would be comedians or Irish people. But I'm trying to think, like, you know, oh yeah, I dated like a DJ, which is like so different to comedian and Irish people. But like, you know, but like, I guess it's a bad analogy. I'm just trying to think, like, I'm spending quality time with him. I think he met my friends twice, but you can be with him and then go off and be with your friends. You don't need to like mix the groups that much.
Exactly. But they just think, well, they'll be talking about me. It's the paranoia about
Irish
people.
Oh, the paranoia.
Yeah. Yeah. And should they be gossiping? They'll be bitching. They'll be moaning. They'll be slagging me off. Like, I have people, we would have matched thousands of people at this stage and loads of people, babies and everything, obviously. But they would still, a lot of them would rather pretend that they met somewhere else down the pub rather than have anyone say that they actually sought help from a company to actually find them. And that's what's sad about Ireland. You know, if you want, I hate it too. And when you, like, they'd be quicker to complain about a bad match than they would congratulate you that they just got married. And that's it's the bitterness and the annoyance that I have over that unwillingness to actually just say, do you know what, you provided a great service, I'm so delighted, I'm married now, I've got kids, and I was never like probably going to find that on my own. But no, it's like, probably would have met them anyway. Yeah, whether I was you or not, I would have found them anyway. And like, I have cousins, I have relatives, I have loads of friends that we would have matched and are like, you know, married, kids, everything. And would have promised like testimonials and different things like that. And then just like, I don't think I can do it. The other person won't let me. They won't let me do it anymore because they're ashamed. This Irish guilt, this Irish Catholic shame, even though it should be, you know what, I was really proactive. I put myself into a pool of like-minded individuals. I didn't waste five more years of my life sifting through fucking profiles all over the shop. I did something intelligent, and now here I am with a wife and a kid.
It's also like mildly selfish of them too, because, you know, if they were to get on and be like, I did this and it was great and look at me now, more people would be like,
it helps so many people. Yeah.
And it's also, I hate that Irish attitude. That's what I love about being in New York. And it was so nice in New York to learn, like, no one gives a fuck, especially over here, because you can bump into someone tomorrow and you never have to see them again if you don't want to.
Yeah.
But people are just, they're doing their own thing. They don't give a fuck what you think. They'll walk down the road dressed like a unicorn and they're just like, ah. And it's so refreshing, because
it is.
Even with Irish people, yeah, they might gossip about you at the pub, but like, great, give them something to gossip about. And secondly, they'd be on talking about something else in 5 minutes. Like, it's really not, big of a deal.
Exactly. And you know, far happier if you think about it, like, for a 45-year-old man to finally now have found the person of his dreams, who he's now married to and has kids. His brothers would be happy for him, no?
Well, especially if you say it for the listeners, if you're like, oh my God, this is great, met on this, so happy. People are going to be like, oh my God, that's great. But if you are all like, oh, like hiding about it, and then they find out, that's when it becomes gossipy. But I think when you own it, people are like, okay.
And that's why I've always been saying, people in America, people in London, they shouted from the rooftops that they've done something, they've sorted out stuff, they went to talk therapy to solve whatever issue was going on, and now they're better for it, and now they're putting themselves out there, and they're happy, and they just, own it, exactly, wear their heart in their sleeve. Whereas, we love just to bury things and say nothing and sweep it under the rug. And we're getting better. COVID has made the stigma and the taboo lift a little bit for Irish people, especially Irish guys. And we have more men now than ever joining. And
that's great.
It's because I suppose it's acceptable now to say that I'm kind of lonely because I'm sick of being in this house on my own, or I'm sick of being wherever on my own. And I don't want another 5 months to go by without actually meeting someone, because Johnny and Mary on dates in the past, Johnny wouldn't have dared told her that he liked her for fear that she didn't reciprocate. Whereas now Johnny's thinking, to hell with my ego, I'm just going to say that I like her if I like her. And if she likes me back, great. If she doesn't, at least I can sleep better at night. So people are nicer to deal with now. There's a better attitude. They're more grounded in terms of their expectations. They're less demanding in terms of the nonsense, like the blonde hair, blue eyes, da 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 da. They're a lot more into core values, and they just want someone to go away with and go on holidays with them too.
I love this.
Yeah, so it's not all doom and gloom.
And so what was the vaccine thing you were saying at the start? So people are actually saying, oh, I don't want to date someone who would get it, and I don't want to date someone who wouldn't. I didn't even know people in Ireland wouldn't get the vaccine. I'm so clueless sometimes.
There's a few people now that have gone down the rabbit hole and are looking at the very unusual media, not mainstream media, and it's consuming them, and they're getting very paranoid and very vocal, and they're looking to be rebellious and looking to get out into the streets and to, you know, it's almost like they're denying that there's an actual virus. And that's very divisive, very in this country. So in the past, it was all about religion. I want to date that person, but I'll only date them if they're a God-fearing Catholic coming from a good, strong, you know, mass-going, you know, family. Otherwise, geez, I couldn't bring them home to introduce them to Bridie at all. And so then it moved on to politics. And so you get people who'd say, anyone but a Trump supporter. Don't you dare go near me with anyone but a Trump supporter.
There's Trump supporters in Ireland?
Well, doon beg. And it's not, because I was on something else and they said, well, like, what harm? Opposites attract. I was like, yeah, opposites attract in terms of I like rock and they like, I don't know, punk. But when you have fundamental differences about how the world should operate, yeah, that's kind of a big deal.
My friend said to me, and this is kind of similar, if you wouldn't be friends with them, you probably shouldn't date them. So I wouldn't be friends with someone who's like, you know, fuck a certain race. Like if they're giving out about them, like a racist, I'm not gonna be friends with a racist. I'm not gonna date a racist. Does it make sense?
Exactly. And so they're very strong about that. And like no one who's a Sinn Féin supporter or anyone but Fianna Gael. And then like when the water charges came over here, and there was a big argument as to whether you should pay for water or not. I'm like, I think you should probably pay for water.
Yeah, come here. The fucking pipes are 200 years old. Let them fix it. Dodgy water.
No, because the people who are saying, no, I don't want to date anyone who wants to pay for them, is like, that's just you basically just being a pussy to the government. They're just abusing you. They're abusing you, and you're a weakling. You're a pussy. It's like, Jesus Christ, guys. I know, really.
Grant, I'm a pussy. Vaginas are strong. They give birth to babies.
Was that Betty White?
No, I don't know, but I seen it recently. I quote her all the time. She's
very good.
not Betty White, but this is a character from the show Magicians, but there's a very strong female lead in it, and she's brash, she's you know, gorgeous and confident and funny, and she's always like, stop being a ball sack, balls are weak. And so she has all these like sayings about how vaginas are strong, so I love it so much, so I'm always inspired by her.
The single Irish guys would really love her to date.
Yeah, I know, they'd hate her. But she says this great point in it, and she's like so hot, but she's like, you can't be good looking, funny and smart as a woman, and it's too threatening to women and men. And she was like, we're not allowed in this world. And I was like, oh my God, she's so right.
So right, Jesus. Yeah. But sorry, I went off on a tangent there. Back to your question, the COVID thing has now become massively important. So people will ring up and say, are you going to be asking people whether they've been vaccinated or not before I actually date them? Because I'm not going to be dating an anti-vaxxer. I'm not going to be dating someone who doesn't feel that they should be getting a vaccine because my granny is a 90-year-old dementia patient or whatever. So are you going to be asking them? We're like, geez, I never thought about that. So then we commissioned an Amorek survey, and it said 62% of people would not, absolutely categorically not date anybody who did not intend on getting the vaccine.
62% said they wouldn't?
Yeah, wouldn't.
Yeah, it's like a tough one. It's funny, I never really thought, I don't have a lot of strong feelings on things anyway. I don't know why. Like,
you're balanced.
A Libra.
Very good.
Yes. Even though I'm not into astrology, I just, my
neither
friends
am
send,
I.
Yeah, my friends send me Libra shit all the time, and I'm like, well, sounds right. But like, you know, so a very close friend of mine, she doesn't want to get the vaccine, and like, she's out like working with people and stuff, so she probably should. I got it, but I got it more just because, you know, I don't know, my family were getting it, I wanted to travel. I didn't want people judging me on Instagram being like, look at this fucking like, you know, so that way I could be like fully vaccinated doing gigs in Miami, you know.
Exactly.
It wasn't even more, and it just seems like the thing to do, you know, like if it gets the society back. But then people are like, are you not afraid? Because I was one of the first over here to get it, because bartenders got it first, and like, well, obviously essential workers. And then my friends are like, you're not afraid, like something will happen. But I was like, my stepmom and my sister are taking it. Like if they die, I'm good to go too. I'm not like, if everybody's going to die, like, yeah, I don't really want to be here. And yeah, then it's like, so it's so, it doesn't make, but she's worried, but she's also not white. And there's a lot of, you know, I think in the minority communities here, yeah, they're afraid that it's like a government spam. So I'm like, look at me, I'll be grand. And she's like, but still. And I'm like, but I'm an immigrant, they'd probably get rid of me too, you know?
Yeah.
But she's, well, like,
they were saying that about California. It's like the upper class and then the lowest class are not getting much of it. It's all the middle section that is just, you know, let's be balanced here, guys. It's a virus. I want to get back to living. Let's just do this. But it's like the billionaires are like, no way. That's the government. That they're just going to ruin you. And then the lower, you know, it's very divisive amongst families and everything. It's just the latest in a series of divisive things.
Yeah. Like I also don't judge people. Like everybody listening, go get the vaccine. But I'm also like, whatever, if you're young and healthy and you're not putting anybody at risk, like my friend is living with old people. So, you know, and she had COVID, so she has antibodies. So she's also, that's like, I'm not gonna be like, you can't, like, no. you know whatever. But I know for me, when they were like, you can get fully vaccinated and you can go to Paddy O'Reilly's and we can session inside and not amazing, feel guilty, I'm like, yeah, pass the whiskey.
Yes 100%. And yeah, so by and large, I mean, everyone is gagging to get out to the restaurants now. They're in a few weeks time, they'll be open again, so the dates will be happening back in person. And then there's some anxiety over that because people have been cocooning for so long. They're like, how do I get back to normal life and meet people again?
What about, will you still encourage people to do FaceTime and Zoom dates when things go back to normal?
Well, we'll do what people are happy to do. You see, a lot of the time, Mary's happy to do a Zoom date, only happy to do Zoom, but Johnny wants to meet in person. And so,
because he's like, mortified at seeing his face, he probably feels awkward.
We do have to talk to an awful lot of guys about how they hold the L phone and not be letting Mary look up his nostrils the entire date. That doesn't do at all. And so, but we will encourage real life dates in restaurants, but it'll be outdoor dining because you can't really beat the in-person thing when you spend time. If people are nervous, people are more, I know you said how much you love doing that, and that's great when you're able for it, but we got 90-year-olds on the books and like, God.
90-year-olds, that's wild.
Yeah, 20 to 90 and everything in between. And like, literally, they're coming in older, they're coming in younger. Like, I never expected to get 20-year-olds in here, but they're just so organized and they compartmentalize their entire lives. They are like, my career is on the right path, my education is complete. I would now like you to sort out my relationship status for a little.
And look, that makes sense too, as well, especially if they're like, they're also probably desensitized to likes of Tinder and stuff because they've probably been swiping since they're 16.
Exactly.
And then they're on Instagram and everything the whole time. So they're probably like, they probably don't even know how to do in real life sometimes a little bit.
That's the thing. That's kind of the issue. They're uber mature and they're very well accomplished. But then I sound really ancient saying that the youth of today spending all their time swiping right and left and not really knowing what's going on and can't make eye contact, can't communicate. They literally would go out and start texting in the room that they're in, which is pretty depressing. That's not great for the future generations. But dating is getting a little bit easier now following COVID, because it's just, people have just said, Jesus, I need to be motivating myself. I'm not going to be moaning about the fact that I'm single if I'm doing nothing about, you know, trying to not be.
This is great. Like, and do you, I have two questions. When they go for their dinner, is that already paid for as part of your...
No, they pay a membership fee, and that's for 5 guaranteed introductions. And so then all 8 people take over and we add their profile to the CRM system, the client relations management system. And that's when all of us discuss the reasons why we feel Katie is best for John or Tim or whoever. And then we call you about him about you, explain the profile in really great detail, so you have a real clear insight as to why he's been chosen. And then we arrange the date based on your availability and we book the table and you arrive and you're seated and you already know everything about the guy already and you have your date. You might exchange numbers, you might go for a drink after, who knows. And then the next working day, feedback is done. How did you get on? Was there spark, chemistry, conversation flow, blah, blah, blah. Are you happy or sad? If you're sad, why are you sad? Let's learn, let's evolve, let's find out why Katie needs someone different or what you want us to focus on. So it's constantly learning from you and the feedback and from him. If you get on like a house on fire, you can pause your membership for anything up to 3 months to go off and see if it works out. If after a month you're like, nah, we're better off being friends, aren't we? You come back, he comes back, and then we move on.
And so, what was the other question I wanted to ask? Well, firstly, what about the date when the bill comes?
Who
do you
pays?
Guys talk about that? What? Yeah. So do you warn them before? Because I know I like when the guy pays, but I know lots of my other girlfriends who are like, I've got my shit together. I want to split 50-50. So.
Yeah. Well, you see, everyone knows that people have their shit together in this day and age, and everyone in here knows that they can afford to pay it. The point is, who should pay it? So my attitude is, the guy, if he wants to see her again, yes, he should foot the bill.
Because it's just nice. Because it's also like, it costs me money to be, more money to be a woman. So.
Exactly. Good point.
And with my body and all of that stuff. I'm just like, it just show me you're chivalrous and that you're kind.
Yeah.
Shows that you're generous. And I'll always make sure like the third date or something to like sneakily pay. And then they're like, oh, they're so grateful. But it's like, I just want to make sure that you're kind with your money.
That's what all guys that I would deal with or that would be in here, they'd be more than happy to actually foot the bill as long as it wasn't assumed by Mary that if Mary doesn't
bother.
Yeah,
I always take out my card very slowly though. And they're like, you're grand. I'm like, oh, thank you.
My old boss in a previous life used to always say, look, Katie, you fumble while I pay. Yeah. So just grab your purse, grab your wallet.
I always go, oh no, and they're like, no, and I'm
perfect.
Like, oh, are you sure? And I'm like looking for it, and they're like, no, and I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll have to get you a drink afterwards. That's what I always do, and then I get the drink. That's what we advise,
and that's what they do most of the time. That was perfect, by the way.
Or I say, let me tip as well. If it's too late, I always be like, I have cash, because I always have cash on me, and I'm like, let me tip. And so if they spend like 100, I'm only putting down 20. Sometimes.
Yes. Well, now, you see, that would over here now, the tips, Jesus, like if you talk to the older generation, especially, we had one situation because tightness is the number one pet hate or number two pet hate from women towards men. So Mary put down a tip of 10 or 20, whatever it was. And then didn't he pick up the tip on the way out, not knowing she could actually see him do that? Because he's like, oh, for Jesus, didn't we pay for the meal kind of thing? And so tightness, they didn't see each other a second time. Oh, big time. Tightness is absolutely appalling. So no, they would, and an awful lot of people get really bogged down on who's going to pay. But it's always the case that the guy would, if they're going to see each other again, if they know they're definitely not. A lot of the time they will decide to go 50-50 and say, see,
which is totally fine. I wouldn't want someone paying for me that's like, oh, I can't, I don't want to see her again. And it's another way for them like to show that they want to see you again, because they're kind of investing. They're like, well,
oh, big time. It never comes up as an issue in here, because I suppose they're looking to see, are you looking to settle down? Are you looking to get married? The good thing about this is, you know automatically that she wants the same outcome as you. So you're not
Don't even have to have the conversation of what you're looking for. That's so great, because that's so awkward. I find like you're so four awkward. Dates in and they're like, you know, you just want a casual thing, right? And you're like,
yeah. No, I didn't. I was about to profess my undying love for you.
Yeah, totally casual. You never talk to him again.
Yeah, I know. And seagulling is the latest thing that I think I have heard. I don't know if you know seagulling. It's where you break up with the person and then you don't want them to be happy at all. So even though you don't want them, you don't want anyone else to have them either.
Yeah.
It's this kind of bitterness.
So you keep messaging them and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I had a predicament like that where it was only a few dates, but he wanted to stay friends afterwards. He said, I give off real mate vibes. But it was only later I was like, I don't have sex with my mates. And then he was talking to me so much in the week afterwards that I was like, actually, no, because my friends don't talk to me this much. And it did feel a little like on the hook. And I'm sure that wasn't his intention. But I think people do things they don't even realize. Like they're indecisive, so they don't want to let you go. So they're still talking to you. And it's truly, I don't think it's anything bad. I think we're all human and we don't even really know what we're doing sometimes. But you have to just know, like if they want to be with you, they'll just be with you. They don't.
Exactly. Yeah. And it is as simple as that. If people are self-aware enough to identify, okay, it isn't normal the way he spoke to me, or it isn't normal that, you know, we don't want to be together. We know we don't want to be together. So what are we doing? Am I getting anything out of this as a friendship? Do I need another friend? Not really. I'm probably okay with that.
Yeah. It's just taken away from your actual friends. And like,
yeah.
The other question I wanted to ask you is, do you give them a kind of advice of when to have sex?
God, no. Imagine we did that and Bridie comes back to me after 2 months and says, you taught me to have sex with him after 2 months after the fifth date, and we did, and now we're broken up because something happened, or like, no, random stuff. Like, it would just end in absolute tears. And Ireland is such litigious nation and everyone wants to sue everyone because we get threatened to be sued because they didn't fall in love. We're like, lads.
I'm so surprised, Irish people. I didn't think.
Oh my God, they'd sue everyone. They're jumping in front of the cars out here.
Really?
To sue. Oh yeah, no, it's unbelievably litigious. Like we have had like loads of people. Like Johnny will go out with Mary. Johnny may be like, eh, grand. All right, date. Good crack, I suppose. Am I interested in her? Not really. No, there's no spark there. Mary loved Johnny. And Mary's like, oh my God, how do you think? What do you think? What do you think? And we get the feedback saying, yeah, no, I thought lovely person, but just maybe the spark wasn't there. And then she will, a lot of the time, say, that was the worst date of my life. We had nothing in common. I was like, Mary, you did. You spent 4 hours together. You exchanged numbers. But should he have given her the number? Probably not. He shouldn't play mind games. But,
not even playing mind games. Probably just was like, wasn't really sure, then thought about it later. Some of us process our feelings a little later.
True. And so, but Mary will often, like, instead of admitting that, okay, ego is bruised, she'll say, you're crap. I need to punch
so
someone.
Bad. Who will
I
That's
punch?
So bad.
I'll punch intro.
Yeah, need to punch intro. Yeah, like people need to learn how to deal with rejection because, like, the thing is, let's say I had a guy that I really liked. I just thought it was the first time I really connected with someone, and I was like, yeah, this is, we're gonna date. Like, and then he obviously felt a different way, and that's totally fine. And it's like you walk away from it going, it doesn't mean that I'm not. He could meet someone tomorrow, and let's say this is the other thing where then people are like, well, I'm not good enough, and it's like, no, you're great, but so is Michelle and so is Siobhan. Yes. And so, like, they just might have found something more compatible.
Exactly.
And one thing from him I realized, it was the first time a guy made me laugh in a long time. Like, I've always had like, oh, they're nice, it's grand, but I was always the entertainer, and he was super as nice about my comedy. Like, it was the first time a guy was like actively like, not, he had no ego about it or whatever.
Brilliant.
And I was like, oh, it's not going to work with me and him, but these are things I want. So it, like,
yes.
I was like, I just learned, like, okay, so for like Mary, she should have been like, oh well, I thought that was great, I want a guy like that who's into
exactly.
me.
Exactly. But after a number of years of failed relationships or failed dates, it can be highly emotive and very tough on people, and they kind of come in almost assuming that things aren't going to work out, and then they go out with a
jaded.
Negative attitude and a face on them, almost a physical face on them.
Fucking try, like, to love me.
Yeah you will love me. And so the guys or the women are gonna, like, they need to come out with a positive thing. Like, what should I talk about? I get asked all the time, what should I bring up? What should I? It's like, well, don't talk about your ex, how much of a bitch she was. Don't talk about, you know, how much of a psycho your other person was, or how you're heartbroken still. And, you know, just move on. It's a lighthearted first date, guys. Let's just be that way. Let's focus on the positives, focus on her or him, ask questions, but don't interrogate. And
yeah, like if you met a new friend, like let's say you go play football, I don't know, and one of the lads are like, or your girl playing football and one of the girls, whatever, a new friend is like, let's go grab a pint. You can grab pints with them and be like, you know, when I was 7, mother hit me or whatever. Like, you just be like getting to know them, having the crack. And I think if people treat it more like a friendship, and then if
that's what we say. Yeah, you're taking words out of my mouth. I always say that to people when they're really nervous about going on a date. I say, don't think about it as, you know, your future life partner. Think about it as the worst thing that can happen here is you make another few good friends, and then bonus if it's more. Yes.
Yeah.
Good point.
And then Roxana was on last week's episode. This won't come up and come out until 2 weeks after, so it'll be 2 weeks ago, but she was saying that we were both saying, like, because we're very relaxed, chill, sort of, like, go with the flow type of people, and we'll date guys and we don't ask for a lot or have any expectations, just because I'm too busy really, and they'll be like, oh, that they saw us as like a friend or whatever. And it's like, I think that people think relationship is something different, where like, maybe I don't know what they're, but I think if you're going to date someone, make sure that you would be friends with them, or that they are like a friend that you can have sex with.
100%. Yes.
And I think
100%.
People think they dismiss that. They're like, oh, she's great crack, she's just like a mate. And you know, you're already attracted because they're like trying to put their penis inside you. So,
yeah.
you know, but then they're like, oh, but
the first sign.
Yeah. So it's like, we know there's attraction. And then they're like, oh, but it's just like, we seem like good friends. And it's like, that's what you should want in a relationship.
Yes.
You shouldn't just want someone who's like, I don't know what people think a relationship is, but I think that's really important. My dad says that about my stepmom. He was like drunk over here one night. I've never seen him drunk, and he rarely drinks. And my one of my best friends was dating this guy who was pretty shitty. Now he was very shitty because she had been assaulted before and he did something that was very insensitive about that. So she was really torn, but I think she was devaluing her feelings. And she spoke to my dad and he was like, you know, get rid. And then his advice afterwards was like, meet someone who's like your best friend. And, you know, my wife is like my best friend. And like, that's the most important, that's more important than anything. And a couple of months later, anyway, she got with her best friend from childhood and they're getting married now.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that mad? Not saying go fuck your best friends from childhood, but I mean like make sure friendship is more important, because he would have never said that stuff to her. And that other guy was like extremely attractive and that's why she liked him. And that's, you know, but it was like, it was more surface level than deep level.
But like I had people, I know of someone who broke up, who divorced with their husband because, and her reason was, you've kind of become my boring soulmate. You've become my boring soulmate. So no, I like you're like a best friend. You're a soulmate, but that's not what I'm looking for in a husband.
That's exactly what I want. I want to be bored with someone. I want like Ricky Gervais show. You know, when his wife died, and he's like, I just miss going home and doing nothing with her. I'm like, that sounds lovely. It's up to her too. If you need to spice it up, then I don't know.
That's it. Yeah. No, but some people are destined not to want to be in a long-term relationship either. Not supposed to be. It is fine. But anyone who wants to be can be. And there's 2 million single people in this country alone. Tiny little Ireland, by the way.
4.9.
Yeah. So 1.55 million single, unattached, never married, and 418,000 separated and divorced. The tiny island is just swarming with single people. If we just, and that says an awful lot about like what is wrong with the way that we communicate, how we put ourselves out there, how we don't put ourselves out there, and how people are nice. And there are decent people, you know, looking to meet someone, but you need to put yourself into a proper pool that attracts like-minded individuals. So don't be surprised if it's swiping through Tinder every night for 3 hours that you're not meeting the love of your life. It doesn't mean that there's no hope or there's no possibility of it working in future.
No, so I think that's great. I think they should all do your site because it's so helpful. There's a bunch of people and that, like, even I can't swipe. I do Hinge, but I don't swipe for too long on it. Well, they only let you swipe, pick 6 people and then you run out of likes. So it's kind of nice because then you're like, okay, I can't be here all night. But it's also
that
like,
is good.
But it's overwhelming. So usually, like, if I go on my Hinge now, there's probably like 20 guys right now asking me to go grab a drink. And then I get overwhelmed because there's so many men in New York, it's easy and they just swipe yes and everything. And then I get so overwhelmed, I don't know who to pick. So then sometimes I just put it away and then I open it and I have messages from lads being like, hello. And then I'm like, oh, that's annoying. But it's hard. Like, it'd be nice to have 8 people going, well, these are, because I can't find out all of the things that they want or are or need. There's not enough information.
Yeah, and people, you see, will say stuff to us that they wouldn't say to anybody else. I've been on the phone for 11 years now talking to single, separated, divorced and widowed people, talking about what hurdles they're having to try and overcome and why it's so difficult in this country, whether you're a city or whether you're the most rural part of Donegal or wherever. And, you know, why they're finding it so difficult. All their friends and their family members are all settled down and married and they're happy. You're happy for them, but you also want what they have. But your career is also important and I want kids, but I don't want them yet. Like we beat ourselves up an awful lot instead of just thinking, you know, there is someone for everyone. Let's just put myself out there and actually just try and not talk it to death and not procrastinate and kick the can down the fucking road, which is what we do. I have people and they still ring every day and they say, I saw you guys on the Late Late Show there. And I'm like, did you? Great. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. And then at the end, I tell them, do you know when we were on 8.5 years ago? They're like, what? Are you for real? The years just fly by. And look at COVID, for God's sake, in the last year and a half or whatever. Like, you have to adapt and everything has to adapt. And we're like, we closed the office on the 12th of March last year and it got busier than ever. And like mental busy to the point of hiring more staff and everything. And so there is a realization there now that you need to put yourself out there, that people don't come knocking on your door, which is thankfully, you know, it's about time. But it's a pity it took a global pandemic to bring that realization about.
Yeah, and can I ask you 2 more questions before you leave? Okay, one is, do you tell women to be as forward as well, like with asking men out and stuff like that? Do you think that's good advice? So now you see the way we're saying like, oh, we need to put ourselves out there more.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing about maybe men in Ireland because they're so bad with expressing their feelings. But would you tell women as well? Like, if you like him, just ask him out. If he's not interested, just move on. Like, do you think that's good advice?
Oh, yeah. We always say to everyone who's on the date, on the night out, like, if you're interested, it definitely exchange numbers, because there's no point in Mary and John going home after a date. If they don't exchange numbers, even though Mary might like John, John will think automatically that she's not interested. Great. Yeah. So I'm going to psychologically move on from this one, Mary, because she didn't bother her backside asking for my number or saying she wanted to see
it. Just put yourself out there.
Just say it. What's the worst thing that can happen? They say, oh, actually, I don't know. Or we'll see, or let intro sort that out. That's what we do. You see, if Johnny doesn't like Mary or Mary doesn't like Johnny and he asks for her number and she's like, awkward. She can just say, oh, intro will do that on Monday. And then we'll rip the Band-Aid off for Mary, saying, Johnny, she had a great time. Lovely, lovely sort of chat. Lovely time spent there at the meal. But just didn't feel maybe the chemistry was enough to warrant a second date. So we're going to move on with the next match. And so we don't.
And then he can move on with a next match. So he's not too bent. He's not too bent out of shape. Yeah, it's great.
And like, it's about keeping people up and positive and not saying, oh, you told a joke and it was stupid and they don't like you for that. And like, no, be yourself. Joke about whatever you want to joke about. And, you know, there is definitely someone for everyone. Like, if someone gets hammered on a date and they've been the first two dates and they're like, they can't even stand, we will advise Johnny, perhaps, you know, you know, so but that rarely happens. To be honest with you now, it's more men asking for non-wine guzzling women. That's actually a huge thing.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's changed from 10 pints, you know, the lads, Guinness. Now it's like, oh, the book clubs. Is she in a book club? Does that mean she loves Pinot? Yeah,
I like an old glass of red wine, but not that much.
Oh yeah, no, some are mad into it, mad.
Because then it's the red wine lips on the first date, you know.
That's hot.
That's terrifying. Okay, the other question I wanted to ask you was, how do you match them on attractiveness? Like, so do you look at two people and say they're equally attractive?
Yes, exactly. So we meet everyone face to face. We used to, now we meet them virtually, and you can tell, and we get photographs and all that, and then we add them to the profile, the database, and then all eight people would say, yeah, well, clearly John is, you know, looking well. He goes to the gym all the time. He's very fit, very active, very into hiking, all the rest. And she is mad into Pilates and yoga, and she's fit and she's beautiful looking and she's successful. Yeah, definitely would match like with like. The only problem that arises from that is if Johnny has been mollycoddled by Mammy all his life, and Johnny's been called a lovely boy and that he's gorgeous, any woman would be lucky to get him. And then Johnny has this really unbelievably skewed vision of himself, or impression of himself, as to how he's being seen by the public. So you have to, in a very careful way, not beat him down to reality, but you need to apply a dose of reality. You know, and that's not easy to do at all. And I had a woman on the phone yesterday, and she rang and she said, I'm calling on behalf of my cousin. And look, she's 38 and she's single, never married, no kids. She wants kids. But she's got this ridiculous high expectation and high opinion of herself. And she's very plain. She's very average. I was like, Jesus, you're sound. So she's talking about how basic and dull and average her cousin was. So I was like, right, okay. But you know, we will match like with like. If she comes in and she looks like Angelina, she'll get her Brad if she's Jennifer.
Well, so what about though, what if there's this great guy who's like not super cute, but he's just like, you're like, well, he's amazing, and then you have this super cute woman, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And you know, she's very good looking, but she's also like down to earth and nice, and you're like, oh, I just feel like they're
That happens, and that only happens because we're humans.
Yeah.
In a weird way. So if there was an algorithm that actually existed in the world, one of the multi-billion-dollar American companies would have bought it. And, you know, Match.com or whoever would have bought the thing. And there'd be no single people in the world. So, you know, there's a reason why human intuition and gut and feel and interaction actually will far beat anything else. That's why there's such a high probability of success in here. It's 1 in 4 ends in marriage or long-term relationships. Wow. And 1/3 of the business is word of mouth. It's massive because it's hugely time consuming and massively labor intensive. That's why so few of these things exist or last. That's why a lot of people never even thought a matchmaking agency still existed in 2021.
So you would like be like, okay, if the looks weren't equal, you'll be like, okay, but there's other things here that they'll vibe on. It'll be more important.
Yeah, if the person is exceptionally charismatic and would just charm the pants off anyone.
Or just like a sweetheart.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. As
long as what?
As long as you know that if the girl is hot as hell, as long as she's not going to treat him like dirt, we have to have his feelings, you know, protected as well.
because
she can't be a superficial person.
No. Well, that's what I mean. Like someone who's hot but down to earth. Because like there's the first, I only watched the first series of 90 Day Fiance, but there's this Brazilian girl in it, and I think she's one of the most beautiful people in the world. But she's very down to earth, very nice, and she gets with this guy who's like very plain. And I googled them now 7 years later because I just watched it during the pandemic. That's, it's really old, but they're still together. But throughout this, like at the start, I was like, why is she getting with him? But then as you go on, you see how like kind he is, and like how good they are together, even though they're like, she's A and he's Z on the looks scale. But it's like their personalities, their core values, they're both very religious, and he's very supportive of her and took a lot of care of her. And they like, it was just very, they're very sweet together. So like me and my roommate, we were watching it and we were first like, ugh. And then as we were watching it, we were like, oh, actually we can see how. So and
that's kind of the ethos in here. That's kind of the attitude of the people who come in here, because they're looking for, you know, full-time life partner. They want the whole shebang. So they're not the stereotypical superficial materialistic awful narcissist. They're the ones that we turn away 20 a day. Good. That we say no to. So if someone comes out with saying,
how do you suss them out?
You tell them the three policies over the phone, and they usually gasp, or they say, how dare you suggest that I have to travel anywhere? Do you know who I am and how busy I am? And there's no way I can't drive in the motorways because I've got anxiety. So there's a victim mentality out there who are like, you know, I had a bad breakup, therefore I think the world owes me a lot, so you get me what I want, right? And we're like, oh, right. And then it's like, I'm 65 and I want a 35-year-old. We're like, yeah, no, can't do that. And it's the snobbish type. And then someone's saying, there's no way I'm dating a ginger. We're like, what? It's like, you for real? Did you just say ginger over the phone? And
sorry, Prince Harry or whatever his name is, Meghan's fella.
Yeah. He did all right. So does she, I suppose. But, you know, anyway, another story. And like, it's just, they say stuff over the phone that you're like, did you really just say that? And how arrogant do you feel you can be? And it's this entitlement again. And then it's like, often the older people want to know that they want you to know that they're still sexually active. That's something that's massive. And we're like, did I need to talk to you, 77-year-old man, about how you still like having sex? I don't know if I did, but okay. So he wants her to know, whoever his future match is, that he's still looking for a hot and heavy relationship. And we're like, wow, okay.
Go for him.
I know. But okay. But put it in this way. How are you going to talk to Bridie, who's 75? And how are you going to word it to her that Johnny, who's 77, wants to get hot and heavy with Bridie?
Yeah, you know? I mean, he just needs to go on the 4 or 5 dates. I don't know. Yeah, and like, see if there's chemistry first. Never mind hot and heavy, like.
But you know, we don't get into whether they should after 1, 2, 3, or 4 dates. You hear stories, all right, but it's the 25-year-olds who ring who are virgins who don't want to ever have premarital sex. That's the big issue.
I didn't even know there was people like that in Ireland anymore.
Oh, there are, yes. And it's usually mommy and daddy, again, to blame, because they've been brainwashed, Bible-bashed by them, and thinking shame will come in the family and you'll go to hell and all, like, really religious. Now, we don't have a lot of that on the books, but they call. So a lot of the stories that I would have given you, they're examples of people that exist in Ireland. I'm not necessarily saying they're everyone that's in or on the books, but it is, there's, you can really almost pigeonhole people into different boxes where even when I get an email in, I know if he says I'm 41 and I'm single, never married, no kids, I know I'm going to have a battle of the ages on my hands, because he's going to be a Peter Pan. He's going to be a commitment phobic type guy who thinks he can get a 25-year-old.
And why are guys commitophobes? Last question, sorry, then I'll let you go.
Yeah, they just feel I can do it whenever I want. I don't want it yet. My mates are all settled down. I was having the crack through the 30s. I was making a bit of money and I was going out getting on, you know, on the pull and on the lash, and I was getting hammered all the time. And it was good crack. And like, you know, they just don't feel they are actually a grown up. And then at 41, they decide, okay, I need to cop on because society tells me I should have kids by a certain age. And also, I just don't want to be left out. I don't want to be the only odd one out, the last one in the group that actually doesn't have it. So they keep on putting it off, thinking, I'll stay to you, 34 and 2 kids, changing nappies. I'm going off to Lanzarote, or I'm going to Ibiza. And like, so they do that for ages and ages and ages. And then it turns to people actually thinking, I actually think this is pretty pathetic now. You're 40, would you just act your age? You're not 22. So it's that. It's putting life on hold and just being so picky and so ridiculous about actually having these expectations. No one is ever good enough. and just realizing
so sad.
It is sad. It really is.
And I feel like a lot of them will have that, oh, the 1, 2, 3, or 4 people who got away.
Yeah. And they do. And then they beat themselves up over that for a while, but they still don't make the actual necessary change to themselves. So all we can do is identify where you could possibly change things. And if you're willing to actually address what you've been doing, abide by the rules, these policies that we have, they're not us, they're stats and facts and figures of Irish society. So if people address what they're doing, tweak what their habits may have been, they'll stand a much higher chance of success. And thankfully, that's why we're here after 10 years.
That's great. So where can people find yous?
We have a website, but no one's details go on the website. So it's intro.ie, and they can call us. Obviously, we have to speak to them, first of all, to have an initial chat to make sure that we can offer the membership. And that takes a few minutes. And then our Instagram is intro matchmaking, and our Twitter is @intro dating, and our Facebook is intro matchmaking as well. So, yeah, I'm not very good on the old social, but that's OK. I'm getting better.
Now, I hope you guys liked that episode. Virgo was great to come on. It was nice to speak to a fellow Irish person and hear all about the dating scene back home. And sure, you guys should sign up. It sounds great. Other than that, as usual, if you want to sign up to the Patreon again, Patreon.com/podcast, or if you want to just tell your friends about the podcast, all that stuff, that'd be absolutely amazing. And I will talk to you next week. Have a great week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.